everybody, and welcome back to Nitro Beard Radio. It's been a day or two. I am your host, Mr. Wes Gardner. And with me, the normal amount of people, right? I mean, we still have three people. We're just missing one in action.
Yeah, Tyler cannot be with us today, unfortunately.
Sadly. I'm sad, but you just heard the voice of Mr. Brian Belita. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad I got power back up. We, you know, I thought we weren't going to be able to have this meeting tonight, and I would have missed out on our special guest. But yeah, the it was a Christmas miracle when we got power back.
It was the miracle on 34th Street, even if you don't live on 34th Street.
The miracle in the shitty town of Westminster.
But yeah, like, power went out mere hours before we started, because we set the time. We're like, okay, we're going to do it. Even if Tyler can't make it, we're going to do this. We have to put something up. And then, yeah, I got a message from someone that was not you, because you didn't have power.
Yeah.
Saying, I don't know if he's going to make it. And I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, well, I have my iPhone, so, you know, I was able to hop onto the platformers and to post an internet forum message.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed it. I'm always logged in on the platformers, but I'm hardly ever there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, it's been about a month, going on a month since we've had
too long.
Yeah, it really has. It really has. And like we've said, Tyler is missing in action this week, sadly. But I think people are going to be very, very impressed with who we got here as a special guest tonight.
I think so.
I pulled a few strings. I am kind of in the whole, like, independent film thing. I'm in, I like to have my, you know, hands dirty in a lot of industries. I just like to know people. That's kind of my thing. I like to network and meet people. And I made a few phone calls, and this person's really been popular as of late. And he doesn't necessarily tie in with video games too much, I don't think. I mean, unless I'm forgetting. Yeah. But we actually have him calling in, and I'm just amazed at it. But something I really did want to do, and just because it's been a while since we've been together on the radio show, is, you know, I told you ahead of time who we were going to have, but I would love it. You know, normally I host the show, but I would love it if you kind of took the hosting reins, you know, on this and talk to our guest, simply because, you know, I'm kind of nervous to talk to him, but,
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, this has been making the rounds a little bit, but, you know, I think he's going to clear some things up, so.
Yeah, and I wanted him to have, you know, he's a fan of the show, and that just blows my mind in the first place, but, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to ask him. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe he got inspired and he Googled the coolest word he could think of, which happened to be Nitro Beard. And
that is.
Maybe he found this. And,
yeah, know, but, yeah, without further ado, I'll just kind of sit back, and I'd like to hear it. I'm going to unmute him in just a minute, but yeah, he's on hold, and okay, here we go.
All right, cool. Yeah, well, like I said, you know, Tyler's not here, but we've got a great replacement. So the special guest I'd like to introduce.
Oh, good!
Oh, well, I mean, I guess it's not really a surprise anymore, but let's hear it for Christian's mail. I mean, sorry, Christian, I'm just a little nervous to have you here with us. But how are you?
Let's go again.
Well, it's great to have you.
Bruce.
My name's Brian. I don't know. You might miss that. I don't know if you were on mute or if you're busy otherwise, but that's okay. Yeah, so.
Are you professional or not?
Christian, yeah. Look, I've had a crazy day. This is Nitro Beard. It's our podcast, so. But, you know, let's just move on. Let's get on with the show.
No, don't just be sorry. Shut the fuck up, Bruce.
Wow. Okay. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Just a minute. Just hold on a minute. Oh my God. No. You know what? I mean, we could go.
I'm going to get fucking drink, man. Fuck.
Oh,
fuck this.
Shit. Okay. Well, I mean, we could go again.
Right. Let's go again.
No, Christian. We're not gonna go again. Okay. We really need to calm down. We need to calm down.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm putting a stop to this. Okay? I'm stopping this right now. This is ridiculous. You're coming on the show. We invited you. You wanted to be on here. That's what I don't get. You have this hostility, but you wanted to be on the show.
I'm fucking serious.
I know you're serious, and that's part of the problem. Like, what are you doing? What are you even, you know what? No. No. I'm going to put you on mute. This is ridiculous. I'm thinking about disconnecting the call.
Let's go again.
No, we're not going to go again. We're not going to go again.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do understand exactly what I'm doing. Okay? Oh my god. Okay, he's on mute for a minute.
Fucking I think. Dickhead.
Good god.
I can't believe him.
I'll handle this. I'll unmute it.
Don't shut me up, all right?
No, okay, yeah, I unmuted you, and I want to talk to you about something. You know, we started this segment, you know, and we wanted you on the show.
And how was it?
It sucked, frankly. It was bad. This was a bad time.
What the fuck?
Oh my god. This is, yeah. No.
We're gonna have to restart this. I don't know.
No, we're not gonna, I mean, this is kind of live. This was live. Yeah,
he's back. We can't, look, Christian, we can't let you run this, right? We're just, sorry it had to be this way. You know, I thought maybe you wanted to clear some things up after what's been going around on the internet. But I guess you're just a hot-headed dick. So, well, that's what I gotta say. I'm out of this. You take care of him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're gonna go to break. We're gonna cool some heads a little bit, but after the break, we're gonna talk about what we've been playing. And hopefully,
Well, look, hold on. I'd like to offer Christian, before we go and before he's off the show, unmute him. Let's give him, maybe he'll like to say a nice, peaceful goodbye, hopefully.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree with you on principle. You keep an open arm, kind of arms wide open type thing. But this is, frankly, that's ridiculous. I'm pretty offended right now. But,
let's unmute him and,
Okay, yeah. I'll have him say what he wants to say during break. But, we'll unmute him right now.
You want me to go fucking trash your lights? Do you want me to fucking trash them? Fuck! What the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! What the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! What the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! What the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
It's fucking distracting. Oh, good. 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 No. No. Fuck. 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 No. No. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. Think for one fucking second. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Think for one fucking second. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Think for one fucking second. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Think for one fucking second. Second. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? Give me a fucking answer!
Alright, welcome back, everybody. Sorry about what happened earlier. That was kind of a, kind of a loose cannon thing. It was sort of a off the cuff. Thought we were just gonna kind of shoot the shit. And that's what happens. I mean, that's what you get whenever you work in an entertainment industry. You just never know how people are gonna act.
Yeah, can you believe that shit? I mean, him and then fucking Joaquin Phoenix now, and admittedly, Joaquin Phoenix's beard is pretty nitro-y.
That is a nitro beard, like by definition. That is pretty good.
But that doesn't prevent the fact that he was totally cracked out, man.
Oh, he was wasted, man. He was so gone. But man, now
yeah,
just,
moving
I
on.
Just missed,
yeah.
I just miss Tyler even more now. I mean, because at least Tyler, if he would have pulled something like that, he would have done it in like a Canadian accent.
Or any whatever. He would have said like twice as many words in half the time.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to having our Canadian back. Let's never have another fucking dude from Wales on the show again.
No, it's not going to happen. I'll see to it. But I mean, but before we get off the topic of Tyler, I know there are like some legends about Tyler, and this is actually why I got him on the show.
Man,
I heard about these and I was like, there's no way. I just called him, and getting someone like Christian Bale is one thing, but I was like, okay, this guy. I mean, you did hear that he was the guy that invented every single flavor of Baskin-Robbins ice cream. Like, every single one. Oh, he invented...
It was all before the age of six, right? Or seven? Six or seven. It was somewhere in there.
Yeah. I mean, but he had a large majority of them. And that's impressive. I mean... Yeah.
And hopefully he won't, you know, mind us mentioning that. I mean, the reason he's out right now is because he's going to be a dad. And he with his bare hands, fought off a gigantic black bear while delivering the baby. It was incredible. You may have missed it on the news. It was pretty late night stuff. But
yeah, it was... God damn it. He still went for the... Eve. Oh. No, but he did save that village in Kuwait about the, you know what I was telling you before about the goat.
Like, right, I remember
what
that,
he did
yeah.
is he got, this was in the news as well. He got, it was a baby goat. It was like a tiny baby goat. And the little horns that the goats have, he milked the horn. I don't know how, but he milked it and the whole village was saved.
And I'm fairly positive that at one point, I think it may, no, I don't even know if he's been to Ohio, but, no, I mean, he must have been, because I'm pretty sure Tyler's the only guy that could have pulled off, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, there was the explosion, there was the school on fire next to the orphanage.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I remember this. Okay.
And I'm pretty sure there was... I think that was the day that the Ohio National Zoo just went to hell and all the animals escaped. And I can't even, just wow.
And I think he saved the school by riding in on a lion. Like, I think that's what the news report said.
Or griffin, I can't remember. I think it was, he owns the only griffin left in existence.
What are we doing?
I don't even know.
Okay.
We're lost.
We have no direction. But I'll try to bring it back. But now we're just going to do the what we've been playing, kind of what we've been up to, and then that'll be the show, kind of a short stint. Because we do miss our Canadian. We do miss him.
We do. Tyler, we miss you. When you listen to this, we miss you.
It's not boxing.
And this time I mean it.
Yeah, it's not Boxing Day without you, buddy. Even though Boxing Day happens once a year. But yeah, on the, you know, what have you been playing? I know you got your hands on a few games. One you actually got today.
Yes.
And, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the one today I was going to, and then I was in the bathroom. I was, relieving myself when the power went out. And it's not fun doing that in the dark. but I think I kept straight on aim. I was trying to make up for a little bit of Tyler there, but I was about to go out and turn on my PS3 and buy Flower, which just came out on the PSN today, which is by that game company, the people that made what was originally a Flash game called Flow, and then later became like a full HD release on the PlayStation Network called Flow again. And my original experience with that, with Flow, was that, you know, I wasn't sure what I was expecting.
Right.
But I knew it'd be kind of fun. And so I bought it one night, and the next thing I knew, it was like 4 hours later. It was 5 a.m, and I had to be up in 3 hours for work.
Oh, man. I've always been interested in, because I've never played Flow, and I've never played Flower either. But, like, kind of what we were talking about earlier was, I enjoy the principle of games that try to be experiences.
Yeah.
But also, whenever you see footage of it, I can't relate. Like, I can't tangibly think, okay, this is how I'm experiencing this.
Right.
Basically, it just looks like a movie, because there's no real HUD. I mean, there's no way to kind of see a life bar or anything like that, but that's part of the beauty.
Yeah. Well, there have been a lot of great, like, developer interviews with Genova Chen, the creator, and some of his team.
Mm-hmm.
That has been great, just on their insight in creating the game, and just kind of basically, you know, smashing down all the walls that are, you know, the conventional walls of making a game. So it's definitely, their games fit into that kind of, and I think Sony actually like created a genre called Zen gaming, because it's totally like that. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And for those of you who don't know the kind of concept behind flower is that you kind of act as a zephyr, as the wind, and you move all these petals around and you pick up petals and you can move fast or slow and go around and pick them up and change the environment. It's something akin to if you've played the latest Prince of Persia game when you heal an area. Stuff like that kind of happens, but I mean, the environments are gorgeous. It looks great.
It looks real. I mean, that's one of those few games that I look at and I'm like, this looks, if it doesn't look like our reality, it looks like a reality.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of like an alternate universe of a, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Really, so I mean, it's really, and I think this is what makes it such a great game, but it's just so hard to describe and define. So you should check out some videos, check out some of the developer interviews, and you'll kind of get a good idea for it. But it really, I think it really can appeal to everyone. So
hell yeah.
So I'm definitely looking to, I'm probably after this, I'm going to go buy it and probably end up playing till 5 a.m.
Good man. Good man.
And then I guess we'll kind of go back and forth, but what about you now? We'll do one for you.
Actually I've been playing a lot of PlayStation 2 games, which is weird. I mean, you would think, oh, there's so much stuff coming out, and Street Fighter's around the corner, and then Star Ocean, and there's a lot of stuff I am looking forward to, but I just got a, the reason I hadn't been playing PlayStation 2 in a long time was because I have no TV. I have no television in my room or anything. I just have a big high-def monitor. And the monitor, the monitor cannot take, you know, composite cables. It just can't. It takes DVI and VGA. So there's no real way I was able to play any PlayStation 2, but I just, you know, went by Best Buy.
Which PlayStation 2 do you have? Do you have a backwards compatible one?
No, I do not. I got one of the, I got one of the 40 gigs.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's the non-backwards compatible. I really wish I did have it, because
I was lucky enough to get a 60 gig, and
oh man,
I remember when I was talking about, like, you know, I'm going to buy it, and people were like, where are you going to buy it now? And I was like, well, I missed out on a bunch of PS2 games. My PS2 was busted, and, you know, I know this one has backwards compatibility. So, you know.
That's a smart move. I wish I did that. I really do wish I did that, because it'd make life a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
But I stopped by my local Best Buy, and they have what it's normally for is to capture stuff from a VCR. So it's a company named Pinnacle makes it.
Yeah.
And it's like basically a DVD recorder where you can like hook up a VCR, you can hook up a, you know, a digital video camera, or like a DV cam.
Have it out.
And then. Yeah, exactly. But what it has on it is all it is it's an S video port, but then right next to it are composite video ports. So I was like, okay, this is great. And it just hooks up through high speed USB. And there's a few programs that I have that'll actually full screen whatever is being pumped through
nice.
That.
Nice.
Yeah. So I just put up the PlayStation 2 through that, and for like $50.
Sweet.
Yeah. Now it works. Of course it's not high def. Of course it's blurry, but hell, I don't care. I get to play stuff like Shadow of the Colossus again. So, you know, I'm happy. But
that game, I was like, that was one of the first games I borrowed from a friend, from Ether, the great artist guy. I did all the stuff for the Groovemath and stuff. And yeah, that was one of the first games I played on my PS3, actually, or one of the first PS2 games. And
it's probably one of the best games one that I've ever played, but easily on the system.
Although
there's no doubt.
Admittedly, I also borrowed Eco from him and tried that first. And it just put me to sleep.
Yeah, they're a very different tone. Like, they're both very... They're by the same people, and you can tell they're by the same people.
Yeah.
But it's just a very different vibe that you get from it. Because Eco, it is very... It's desolate, but desolate in the way that I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Like, I want to take Yorta, and I want to run away.
Yeah.
Which kind of adds to the whole principle behind, you know, help Yorta escape.
Right.
But with Shadow of the Colossus, I wanted to look through every freaking nook and cranny I possibly could. And theoretically there's nothing there, but that's what makes it so magnificent is when you find something.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a little shrine, you're like, oh man, I'm going to climb to the top of this shrine. And then you climb to the top of it and you look around and you're like, man, that was awesome. Yeah, exactly.
I got up to the top of this fucking shrine.
Yeah, and like the game didn't tell you to do that, but it was there and it let you explore it. And of course, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I can't remember if there was any, like, formal time that it told you, but I think it was only, like, or like as much as, like, 3/4 of the way through the game that I figured out that you could, you know, shoot and eat those lizards for added health or whatever. And then
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that.
It's super helpful, but it's ridiculous, because have you seen anyone that has, like, the full max, you know, grip bar? like filled up that grip circle is it gets enormous. It takes up like a fourth of the screen. It takes up like the top left quadrant of the screen. It's amazing. So you could just hold that button forever and you'll just like, that's how you can climb to the very, very top of the tower.
Right.
But yeah, I've been playing that. I've been playing more Persona 3. But I actually bought Persona 4 to celebrate being able to play a PlayStation 2 again. Cool. So
yeah, I know a lot of people have been raving about that. So
it's a great series.
I don't think it's quite my cup of tea, but you know, more power.
And normally it's not for me either. Like normally, cause I'm not big into anime. I'm not big into, oh, here's a crazy kooky Japanese culture and you're, you know, a high school student and there's a drama going on and all this other stuff. But yeah, or like, you know, there's also the different subsects of it. And thankfully, they don't go into crazy shit like the Yao or the Hentai in Persona.
Yeah.
But what they do actually very well, and it's something that surprised me, and I can say this for Persona 3, but since I haven't played 4, I can't speak on that, but something tells me it's very, very similar in this regard, is that the game is about the relationships between people. And at first I thought, oh, it's going to be a dungeon hack, like kind of a, you know, hack and slash action title RPG where you level up and personas are crazy things and you have to shoot yourself in the head and it summons these monsters. Like I thought it was going to be one thing, and I was very surprised with how subtle and how very subdued and mature it actually handles all of its stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, because the conversations that you have are, they're progressing like your academic skill or your relationship skill, or you made so-and-so happy, you're rewarded with a stronger persona, which is the demons that right. you summon. But, you know, and basically it's basically a mini-game to help out your summons.
Right.
But it never feels that way. It feels like I'm having much more fun doing the personality and the relationship stuff than I am the battles. Huh. Like, I haven't been to the place where you do a battle in probably 10 hours. I'm just going around, I joined the Aikido club, I joined the student senate. I did a speech.
Run for class president?
I think you can, actually. Like, which is ridiculous. And then if you get class president, something tells me your leadership skill will go up, and then that means your persona will obey you more in battle. Like, they tie it in really well, and it never feels forced.
See, I'm glad you're talking about this. This is a great segue, kind of switching back to another game that I just recently bought, which is Grand Theft Auto 4 for the PC. So I guess I'm kind of late to the times because I'm sure everyone's played it by now, but Steam had it for like $35 or something. So
I've
done that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Despite people bitching about like the PC version and stuff, and it runs like a dream on mine, runs fine. But anyways, I was just about to say that, they've got like all the stuff where, you know, you get the thumbs up and thumbs down from people. Like if you don't call somebody
right.
for a while, like all of a sudden I was driving around and I got a thumbs down for Roman, your cousin in the game. And I was like, what?
And then I was see the big American titties.
Roman,
you didn't want to. America,
big American titties. Yeah. So, and I was like, what? I got a thumbs down. And then he called me and he was like, hey cousin, it's been a while. And I was like, oh, I guess I gotta go play some darts with him. So I'm glad you were talking about that, about, you know, the whole persona thing and the relationships and stuff not feeling forced. And here with Grand Theft Auto 4, when I'm used to all the other ones and I feel like this is kind of forced, I'm like, what, I gotta...
That is true.
I gotta go hang out and play darts with him, you know, when all I want to do is go around, blow shit up and do some missions.
Yeah, exactly.
Like some stuff I don't mind. Like, I don't mind doing, like, one thing, like maybe the girlfriend thing, like every day or two, you know, calling her up and being like, yeah, let's go out. And then she's like, tell me interesting things. And so I don't mind doing that. But when it's like, you know, you've got her and then you've got your cousin Roman and then you've got little Jacob, who's, you know, whenever you've got him in the car, there's this like smoke wafting out the windows.
Oh, hell yeah. That's my favorite character in that entire game. He is the man.
Is it bad? Well, no, I probably shouldn't say that on the show. I'll tell you later.
Okay. Like, we haven't offended enough people with the Christian Bale thing that we did earlier.
Is it bad that, like, the second that, is it Little John? No, what's his name? What the fuck?
I know who you're talking about, though. Is it his brother? Is it, or Little Jacob?
Little Jacob, that's it. Anyway, so yeah. Is it bad that, like, Little Jacob was like, hey, man, let's go get something to meet. Yeah, come on, little. And I took him to Cluckenbell, because I was just like, freaking, I know, it's terrible. Like, I just did it. And but he was happy. I mean, you can bleep some of that.
No, I'm keeping all of it.
But yeah,
so brilliant.
So I feel like some of that stuff is forced and a little bit annoying. Like, I don't know what the repercussions are going to be if I get some thumbs down. You know, I'm not going to be able to do stuff. So like I said, I don't mind holding up one, but, you know, I've got to worry about five different people and going to play darts and drinking every day.
That is a good point. And I can tell you that it is exactly the opposite. Because, yeah, like what you're saying, it almost feels like a mini game. And it's not really important, but I guess they kind of... They have to have a way to make the characters feel important in Grand Theft Auto outside of a cutscene.
Which they did a really good job of. I love the characters. And, you know, they're really great. And, like, you know, your cousin is important and shit. It's not just like, hey, CJ, you a buster. And, you know, from...
man! Yeah. That's all that was 80 hours of, man, hell no. Like, that's all the Grand Theft... That's all San Andreas was.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, but then, you know, it was, but anyways, but overall, it was, Grand Theft Auto 4, it was a little slow to start for me, but then once it kicked in, I was like, shit, yeah, you know, back to the good old Grand Theft Auto feeling.
Well, so, yeah, and I don't know what it is, I don't know what it is about GTA 4, but it feels, I honestly, this is how easy I am to please, but I think it's the ragdoll physics. Okay. Something about that makes it feel like an entirely different game. It makes it feel not like Grand Theft Auto.
I can be pleased so easily by something as simple as ragdoll physics. I mean, it just like stems back to the day when I guess like Porat Servat or like the stair dismount game came out.
Oh hell yeah,
the really old one, and then that, and then there's like, you know, mods for UT and yeah, it's great fun. Like I'll ride around on my bike. I like turn off mission mode or whatever, or so I can just go around and cause havoc.
Yeah,
and then just ride my bike around and just slam into a wall and send my guy flying.
Oh, man.
I'll have to send you the link, but a while ago in college, I guess shortly after Grand Theft Auto Vice City came out, me and my friend there was like a level mod and then also a multiplayer mod for it, and we made a pretty badass stunt video, so I'll have to send you that.
Hell yeah, man.
We can put that
I have my own stunt videos. I did those as well. Amazing. Mine were always great because it showed how bad I was at doing them, because everyone else could like get the, you know, whatever the ninja motorcycle was, kind of the rice rocket.
Right.
You could get on it and, you know, you could do a wheelie up against a wall and drive up the wall and just start flipping and doing crazy backward flip shit and just do a bunch of flippies, and you could land it awesome or on your nose and like swivel around. And then every time I would do it, I would like throttle and it would reverse me. Like it would make me go upside down in reverse and get hit by a bus, like every single time. And I was rolling the entire time. You know, I was in fraps, I was doing whatever and capturing this, but it was so bad. And I made the video and it was the biggest, most successful thing I've ever done, because it got so many hits. That's of awesome. People saying, you are the worst stunter I have ever seen.
Oh man. Comments.
And I didn't mind. At first I felt offended and I was like, how dare they? But then I embraced it.
Just to give you a short overview of the stunt video that we put together, we've got Jaws music. we've got floating UFOs that we land on.
Oh, hell yeah.
Punching a motorcycle to maybe explode. And my friend was in a helicopter and I ramped off a ramp in a Sanchez, hit the blades, and I did something like, I think, a 2,560-degree rotation.
Holy crap.
It's in the video, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, you have to link me that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was awesome.
But yeah, so GTA 4, and then, yeah.
Good deal. Also, something that I want to bring up, I know you've been playing it. I've played it, and I'm going to repurchase it later this week, because I traded it in towards reserves like an idiot. Hey, I worked at GameStop, so I had to kind of preach the gospel at the time.
Right.
But then, you know, and this is for another podcast, but like I don't disagree with their business ethics just because they're trying to make money.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see them from a business standpoint, and I know the hardcore gamer community is like frothing at the mouth right now, like, say something to justify GameStop and I'll kill you. But you know, I don't mind them. Yeah, Christian Bale's gonna come back and he's gonna fucking go apeshit. But I don't disagree with them. I mean, yeah, reserving is something good if you want to do it. If not, don't do it. Like, it's not a hard thing to get around. But I did trade in, and I'm going to repurchase Valkyria Chronicles.
Yes.
For PlayStation 3. And we were talking about this before the show. It's a very hard game to put into words. Like,
I get to use my made up genre. I think what we call it the TPSP,
the
third person strategy platformer, is I think how I define it.
Which is pretty accurate. Like, pretty accurate. Simply because people that, of course, now, if you do own a PlayStation 3 and have not played it yet, there's a demo on the PlayStation Marketplace. And, definitely go get it. So you can kind of, get a handle on what we're trying to discuss, because it is a very hard game in concept to talk about. Because technically, it's a real-time strategy game. It's a strategy game that you're playing in real time. However, don't think of it like a Command and Conquer or a StarCraft, right, because
there aren't hundreds of units that you're commanding.
Yeah, exactly. It's not overhead. But also, someone made a comparison to Full Spectrum Warrior, and that's true, sort of. Because you don't give them commands. You actually do the commands. Like, so you have control of your character, and you're running, and like, say there's a tank ambush, and you have a machine gunner, a sniper, and a grenadier, you know, someone that has grenades. So you're like, okay, there's a brick wall over to the tank's left. I'm gonna send my grenadier over there. So what you do is whenever it's the grenadier's turn, you actually control him like you're controlling like a Devil May Cry or any other action game where you control the character, and you literally run him to the brick wall. However, you're limited by certain action points.
Right,
sort
and
of
they have
like
a certain amount of like movement. You have a little movement bar.
Yeah, and whenever every step dwindles it down a little bit. So I mean, if you try to, okay, I'm gonna go to that wall and you don't make it, you're shit out of luck. So you're done. You're standing out in the middle of nowhere in front of a giant tank. So, I mean, you really have to think about what you're doing. And it took me the longest time to get used to that, because I was like, okay, no, there's an ambush squad over on this other side. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my guys and run over into the alleyway. So I would pick up my characters and I would make them run to the alleyway. But as I was making them run, I was getting shot at in real time. And I'm like, oh, shit, I thought they would take a turn and shoot me.
Right.
You know, I was thinking of it more like a Final Fantasy Tactics, like, okay, I'm gonna move my guys here, and then if they try to attack, they'll miss me. No, they will attack you while you're moving, which is crazy.
Right, and the same goes for your guys. Like, if your guys are positioned at a base, and then you've got some guy running at you to attack you, you guys will shoot him while he's running, as long as he's not in his little, like, aim attack mode.
Exactly. There's so much to it, though.
Yeah,
it's incredibly deep, and in something that actually the Giant Bomb podcast brought up, they brought it up, and also the I think Listen Up, you know, the new One Up radio deal they brought up, was there's big talk about whether Yakuza 3, you know, the Sega franchise of Yakuza, is going to come over to America. And basically they said, if you want Yakuza 3 to come to America, buy Valkyria Chronicles.
Right.
Just because it's Sega, it's the same type of, like, it's the same almost subsection of the gaming community is going to be into it. Like, people who are going to be into Yakuza are going to be into Valkyria Chronicles and vice versa. So go out and prove it with your dollar. And apparently it's doing well. I mean, Valkyria Chronicles is selling very well.
Yeah.
I mean, much, much better than Sega thought it would.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, well, no, it's and it looks fantastic too. I mean,
it really does.
The great gameplay aside, I mean, it's got a really unique art direction and style, and so it's a really great game, and you got to pick it up if you own a PlayStation 3. And I don't even like usually enjoy strategy games and stuff. I think the only ones that I may have played in the past are Metal Gear Acid 2 for the PSP.
Hell yeah.
Popolo Qua for the PS3. For the PSP, which I really enjoyed.
It was fun. I mean, it was kind of lighthearted. I bought it on
a whim. It was like a fun, you know, classic good game. And then I think that's really it. You know, so I'm not like a huge strategy guy, but I picked this up just because it was a lot of fun. I mean, it kind of combines, it's strategy, but then it combines enough actually doing stuff to, you know, make it enjoyable for me.
cool. Yeah, and I came at it. It's funny because you came at it from that limelight, and I'm coming at it from a limelight like I'm trying to train in Company of Heroes to be a professional player. Like, I want to be on the leaderboards. I want to play ranked games. You know, I have every single Command and Conquer ever made. And yeah, I'm huge into real-time strategy and like any type of strategy. I mean, even on Steam, I bought Medieval Total War and Rome Total War, and I've been playing those. So any kind of strategy, I'm all up in. Like, I'm all about it. But then, you know, whenever I heard about it, whenever I saw the pictures, I was like, okay, I mean, this is going to make me sound like an asshole, but I was like, okay, how deep can it be? Like, I was looking at it and looking at people playing it, and I was like, yeah, it just seems like, oh, run to cover, and then shoot something, then run to cover again, and then shoot something.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem very strategic.
Right.
But once I started playing it, man, my God,
it really
I was blown away.
Like, if you hop on your scout and, you know, you send her running out, and then you're like, oh, wait, shit, I'm this far away. And then you, you know, hop on your support guy, like your shock trooper, and she can only run like one quarter of the distance, and you're like, shit, I can't cover her now. So you really gotta think about what you're gonna do, and it's really great because the maps are fantastic. You know, a lot of alternate paths and ways you can send. I think my favorite one so far, I'm still not very far, was the one where you're trying to like stop them from taking the bridge, so you're taking the other side of the bridge.
Yeah.
And I remember like I got my sniper and I walked over and I was like, oh hey, I can climb up this tower. So I climbed up the tower and I just like went to town. It was great.
Hell yeah. See, I love that too. That's why I'm such a big strategy game fan. Is there certain times, exactly like what you just said, where something will click and you'll be like, huh, I wonder. And then you'll do something and it works.
Yeah.
And then you feel like the best champion that has ever lived and you're invincible and you can do no wrong and you could be the next, you know, Patton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you think you're like a war god. Like every time I win a Company of Heroes match, I feel that way. I'm like, that was the greatest moment of my life. And it is very rewarding. I mean, and what's oddly rewarding as well in Valkyria Chronicles, and it's something that I didn't even care about whenever I bought it, was the story. And at first, it seemed kind of like the conventional, hey, we're all a team. Yeah, and there's a war, and wars are bad. And I was like, oh no, what the hell is this? And then as it got further along, I'm like, this is a pretty good little story.
Yeah.
And then apparently, I didn't get to it yet, but apparently there's a few giant plot twists. Like, huge.
Right.
Earth-shattering plot twist. And I'm always a fan. You know me. I'm a fan. Mama loves her stories. So I love me a plot twist. So I'm excited to see what it is. And, you know, come for the strategy, stay for the soap opera,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah. Well, it's really neat, just at the end, the whole idea behind it. And I mean, I guess it has a lot of parallels with, you know, actual stuff that has happened, but it's kind of neat how they, you know, everyone's got to do their time in the army. Like, you know, the main character, you know, he's like a botanist, so he'll be like out in the thing and then he'll, you know, say, hey, you know, these plants go over footsteps, but, you know, the footsteps were there, whatever. And, you know, one guy's like an archaeologist or something. So everyone, you know, no one's actually there. This kind of have to do that. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now.
No, I know what you're talking about. And it feels like the people are progressing as characters because they're using what they've already known in order to survive this war.
And that's a good point.
They also
kind of have the, like, little personnel, you know, roster or whatever. And as you progress through the story, you know, you unlock more little tidbits about, you know, the characters. And they have, like, the extra little kind of history books, which you don't have to read. But if you want to, you can kind of read more deep into the backstory and the history of what goes on. So
And the little touches, too. And this is something they also do in Star Ocean, which I really like. But the characters, like, have likes and dislikes. Like, I like ham sandwiches, but I don't like geese. And you're like, okay, that's random. But then either maybe it'll come up in the story, or maybe they'll say a line, or maybe someone will see a goose, and then they'll be like, I don't like geese.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. That was a horrible example. But I would buy a game if someone didn't like geese. Like, no, I would buy that game.
It is really cool, because you actually got to think about, you know, the team that you're putting together, because some people like people more than others. Some people don't like others. Some people are allergic to the desert.
Yeah, earlier you were talking about your sniper. There's a few snipers that are afraid of heights.
Right.
So you can't put that sniper in a tower. He'll be like, hell no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to that fucking tower. What are you, crazy? Like,
who the fuck you think I am?
You're unbelievable, man. Oh, God.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so fantastic game. It's really good.
Oh, that's...
And then I guess the other big thing that I finally started playing was that I, a while ago I picked up Mirror's Edge for the PC on Steam.
I want to preface this because out of everyone in the world, everybody who has ever lived, I want to hear what your impressions of Mirror's Edge are. Simply because, and I'll preface it so you don't feel kind of awkward. You may still feel awkward, but as some of you may know, Mr. Brian Belita here is a very accomplished, and I'm talking insane accomplished, trekkur, or someone who,
Tresor.
Who does the, Tresor?
That's okay. Right, yeah.
See, okay.
I think like Tracer Bullet, but yeah.
Okay. And because see the whole French thing with the C's? Nah, I can't.
Fucking, you only would do it fashionably, man.
What the fuck are you doing, man? But, very accomplished. You're actually on a team called The Tribe. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you guys have been on, like, American Ninja Warrior. And you guys have done commercials for, like, Philips. And so, I mean, this is what you do. I mean, this is your passion. This is something that you take very seriously and you're very damn good at. So, as a parkour game, how do you think the parkour actually is?
Fantastic. It really kind of captures the feeling. And I love it because I remember I'd been reading and, you know, a lot of people were like, man, this game makes me so fucking motion sick. And, you know, I hopped in the game and I'm like, I love this shit. So it really captures just the kind of, you know, efficiency over big moves kind of feeling. So I'm really glad that they did what they did with the game. And I love the engine and I love the way it controls and, you know, the combination of movements you can do. So as far as kind of capturing the movement and the feeling of doing parkour, it does it pretty well. It does it pretty damn well for being probably the first game of its kind. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And I absolutely love it. I mean, I still have the same qualms with it that a lot of people have, which is, you know, if you're going to make a game about, you know, being able to kind of move around your environment, move really fast and get away. And you know, they had the whole thing about guns or power-ups and, you know, you don't, well, I guess they never really specifically said you don't have to use them. But there's certainly a lot of areas where it's, you almost have to, like, you know, grab a gun and kill some guys. Whereas I'd much rather have the ability or have the option to just kind of run, you know, to just
focus. Yeah, that makes sense. I think it would have been a more interesting game. I mean, I played a very brief amount. I mean, I maybe played a tenth of the game.
Yeah.
But from what I played, whenever you are a character, like you said, that solves problems by outwitting and, you know, outmaneuvering, it doesn't make any sense to give you something where you have to stand completely still and stop all of your motion. It's like, no, I'm not a sharpshooter.
Yeah.
I'm a runner.
Yeah.
And just the whole, that was so rewarding to me, was the act of outwitting and outsmarting people by, like, duping them.
Yeah.
By, like, okay, I'm going to go my momentum this way, and then whenever I'm behind a corner, I'm going to actually jump through an air vent and then go outside. That way they'll look for me in the room next to the room I actually went out of.
Yeah.
You can pull stuff like that, but I think the one thing that I'm going to do whenever I do purchase the game is, yeah, I'll play through the story just to see it, but I can't wait to do the time trials.
Oh my God. Okay, well, before I touch on that, I'm just going to go back to the story and,
yeah.
Well, not to the story, but to the actual game and stuff, but I'm doing my second playthrough now and I'm doing it kind of a no guns run. And I mean, I still kind of have to, you know, they have disarms in the game and like the melee combat hand to hand is pretty neat. But still by disarming someone, you kill them. So, you know, it'd be kind of neat if you could just toss a gun or stun them or something. So, but I'm trying to be basically, you know, do a pacifist run here, which is proven to be pretty challenging. After doing the time right now to the time trials, which is helping me, you know, get through and get by all the enemies really quick. The time trials are so much fun. I mean, I was all about the, back in the day, Quake 3 trick jumping.
Right.
I love doing that shit. So this was hell right yeah. in my, and this like pushes the boundaries of that, because the level design is great. You know, there are different paths, you know, different great paths, different bad paths. And they're really challenging, which is great, because, you know, you can be doing great and you fuck up one little bit and, you know, totally ruined your time. Because you need that 0.4 of a second to, like, get the gold or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I've three-starred, like, the first 12 time trials, save for, like, I think two I have two stars on, and I've two-starred the rest. And I just need to, you know, try to get three-star.
Damn.
But, yeah, the time trial, yeah. I love that shit, and I can't wait to get the DLC.
It looks so good. Yeah, and it's bizarre because the one comparison, you know, that I saw from other genres is it almost Mirror's Edge, just even the base single player game, not even just the time trials, it seems like a racing game. I mean, and Assassin's Creed before it kind of felt this way too, to where the game was not about, you know, quote unquote getting away from the bad guys. It was about getting away as efficiently as possible.
Yeah.
And it looks like it really does, and from what I played of it, it does feel very economical, I guess would be the right word, of if you know exactly where you want to go and how you want to get there, you can probably do it.
Yeah. And that's usually what I do. Like, if I load up one of the time trial maps, I'll not worry. I'll just take my time. You know, I'll go to the first area and I'll be like, all right, so how do I get to the first checkpoint the fastest? And I'll try one route, go back, you know, without restarting the map or whatever. Then I'll try another route and see what's the fastest. Like, okay, good. Next checkpoint. And I'll do that. And then I'll be like, okay, now I got to string it all together perfectly.
Yeah.
And it's so hard, but like once you nail it, you feel so good. You know, it's just like shit.
Top of the world.
Yeah. So it's great. And so I'm really happy that DICE made this game. You know, cause it's a step in the right direction as making like a parkour game. And I know, you know, people have their complaints. You know, some people complain that they had to use guns, and then, you know, they were complaining that the gunplay was like bad or awkward. Which I totally understand why, because, you know, the guns, you know, you're not meant to use them. So when
it's not about the guns. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, and it was pretty short. It is fairly short, and the time trials expand the life a lot, which is great. And I think I kind of understand why they made it short, because they were probably partially testing the ground. I mean, they didn't really know how a game like this was going to do.
Right.
So hopefully in Mirror's Edge 2 or whatever it's going to be called, you know, it'll be a longer game. So
yeah, and more focused and pinpointed on exactly what it does well. Yeah, I agree. And I am looking forward to actually purchasing it. I probably will do it within the next few weeks. Yeah, that way I can...
You definitely should. I mean, it's fantastic. And the whole overall, like, design and, you know, just the level design, you know, color choices, everything in the game. It's just so crisp and clean. It's all fantastic.
Yeah, it looks so good in high def. Yeah, oh, it looks so good.
The team that does Wipeout, I guess Studio Liverpool, has been doing, you know, they're really cool, kind of like ultra high tech, clean designs for so long. And this is kind of pulls into that as far as the design of the menus and even
very minimalistic. And
exactly. And I'm a huge minimalist, so. Yeah.
Oh, I am too. I just, the simpler the better, because, yeah, why take 30 colors to say something when you could say it in two? Yeah. You know, and I mean, that's really cool to see, and I'm glad that people are going that way with art direction. Because some parts do look hyper realistic, well, like namely the characters, but even their outfits are more Logan's Run. I mean, they're more kind of out there, and which is great. And I fully think that it's gonna age very well because of it.
Yeah, no, it definitely will. It looks great. And then also one quick, if you have played it, and even if you haven't, and you're going to buy it, don't be a bitch. Play it in hard mode, no runner vision.
don't be a bitch. That is good words.
No runner vision, all right?
That is true. I need to try that, because I was, my first time I was a little bitch.
That's
and
right.
had the runner
you're,
vision.
You know, you're a little noob chasseur, so it's okay.
That's fine, yeah. No, I'll admit to that. Absolutely. So it sounds like we've been plenty busy. Now all we have to do is find a way to get Tyler back here.
Yeah. Oh, and real quick, back to Mirror's Edge real quick. And I know some people think I may be biased because I do parkour and just because it's a parkour game. that right. I love it. But no, I mean, I didn't run out day one when it was released on PS3 and buy it. No, I waited for the PC version because first and foremost, as far as when I'm talking about games, I'm a gamer. I play games. I love games.
Yeah.
And it's a great game.
Yeah. And it's funny because I wouldn't think that you'd be biased for the game because it's a parkour game. I would think that you would be biased against it. Like, if it did things wrong, you would be the first to be able to be like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Like, what is that? What are they doing? That's dumb. Because in a good, yeah. You're unbelievable, man. A good example is both of my parents are registered nurses. So whenever something like Grey's Anatomy comes on, they laugh their asses off because it's a comedy to them. Like, none of that shit is real. Like, that is not how a hospital functions at all. Even when they do surgical stuff, right. None of it makes sense. They're like, this is dumb. This is the worst. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
1,200 cc's of tracheotomy stat.
We need to inject him with gasoline. And you're like, what? What happened? Like, what is this?
His heart.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that kind of thing, like, this is what you do, and you do it on a serious, like, competitive, national, worldwide level. I would think you would be going in with a fine-tooth comb and, like, one of those blue lights where you find the semen in the hotel room during the CNN special. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
The semen like, Tyler.
Oh, Tyler. Oh, my God. Well, that's it. After this, I'm putting a sound clip of Tyler saying that and then Christian Bale yelling at him.
So good. So hopefully DICE will make another game. And I hope, I don't know, maybe they use the same engine for other games to tell different stories. I don't know. Because I'm kind of tempted because I don't know if you've seen the trailer that we made for the script I wrote in my senior high school called Wind Tracers. I may have sent you the trailer. I can't remember.
I think you did. I'm pretty sure you did.
So anyways, I wrote this full, 90-plus page script for this based on basically the future of parkour. So it ties into a lot of cool stuff. And, I had a lot of help from the parkour community because one guy started writing, he wrote this one little kind of abstract short story and people just started adding to it and developing this whole thing. And so my script tells the story of the Wind Tracers, which is the name of the group of Tracers we named ourselves. We were cool. Back in college from when I first started up, shout out to my man, Sam, cause he'll probably listen to this, but, nice. So it tells kind of their story. As they're weaving through all these other stories that are happening in the kind of overall plot. So, I've been contemplating if it would be worth it. Like, if it might just get trashed, if they wouldn't even fucking consider it, or if I should, send it to, DICE or whatever and be like, hey, if you want to make another parkour game, hey, here's a cool story idea. So I don't know. It's just something I've been kind of tossing back and forth in my head.
There you go. And see, and after we get off this, because I don't want to give away all the secrets, but since I do, I could tell you exactly the type of person you want to talk to for that. If you want to get it a serious look, because a lot of people think, well, if I email the customer service guy and I tell him, if I tell him this is my awesome idea, they have to use it. And that does not. Doesn't really work that way. That's why all you hear in the media for anything is we do not comment on rumors or gossip. Yeah. Like it's that type of, they'll just say, hell no, we don't want to be legally liable. We don't want to make it and then you sue us. Like we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll get you in and.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'll send it to you. Maybe you can take it a look and see what you think and maybe I'll get your opinion on it.
Hell yeah, dude. Cool. All right. So pitching movies and. I agree.
You seen any good movies lately?
I actually saw Slumdog Millionaire.
Why did I even bring up the topic of movies? I'm just going to be like, fuck, there's so many fucking movies I need to see.
Well, we're going to talk for 4 hours about it. But yeah, I'll basically say that I think that Slumdog Millionaire should win Best Picture. And not because, it does stuff that no other film has ever done. It's the most simple story, but it's told in a very elegant way.
Yeah.
And it's told, it's basically going to open America, American cinema and American moviegoers up to Bollywood. And Bollywood on the internet, Bollywood on the internet is a huge joke. And for good reason, because a lot of times it's just shitty remakes of American or like Russian films or something like that.
Yeah.
But there are some gems out there. And I'm hoping that this kind of, you know, for a very good example, stuff like whenever The Ring came out, like, I hate those movies. Those movies are trash to me. But what that did open up people to... What that did open people up to was like, oh, I wonder what this movie called Ichi the Killer is. Or I wonder, you know, I wonder what this movie called Old Boy is, you know. And people are starting to look more... You start looking more abroad, and you start looking at these different countries and places that you don't normally see in your media. Like, everything here in America is all American and patriotic. But whenever you start looking elsewhere for your entertainment, you start to see a bigger picture, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I think Slumdog should win it out of principle. But I don't know, man. I saw The Wrestler as well. The one with
Mickey Rourke.
Oh yeah. That's his defining moment. Like the same way that Robert Downey Jr. came back from Iron Man. Like how that was his big comeback. Like, oh my God, he's back.
I'm so happy that Robert Downey is back, man.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how this is for Mickey Rourke. Like the wrestler put him back.
Get him on the show next, Robert Downey Jr. He'll be here.
And the cool thing is,
like another dude.
See, but the cool thing is, I bet if I knew Robert Downey Jr., I bet he would do it. He's just that kind of guy where he's dude.
Yeah, I'll do it, man. I'll get John Favreau too, man. He'll come on. We'll talk about Iron Man 2.
Oh, superhero movies.
Yeah. Real quick on movies, if you get the chance, I don't know if you've seen it yet. I know I told you about it, but acquire and watch Ip Man. Which is the movie that tells the story of the man who later became Bruce Lee's teacher, Bruce Lee's master.
Oh.
Yeah, so it tells the story of, he lives in China, in this like town of all these, martial arts schools, and then he doesn't open one up, but he teaches people and it goes through when the Japanese invade and, how he deals with that, and the Japanese are trying to learn martial arts from them. So even beside the story, it's got some fantastic fucking martial arts and fight scenes. So, go see that.
Oh yeah, man! I'm always down for some action kung fu like martial arts films in general.
Yeah. I think we've covered it all, man.
Yeah, that was good. I'm happy with this episode, even though the opening. I'm still offended at. His behavior is just uncalled for. I mean, I just don't understand. He wanted to be on. You know what I mean? That's the weird thing. He wanted it.
Yeah.
He wanted to be on, and he started pulling that stuff.
We welcomed him with open arms. We were like, hey, we're down a guy. We're missing our Canadian. So, yeah.
It's upsetting. But, I mean, you live and you learn.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so this has been kind of a more intimate episode of Nitro Beard, kind of fitting in with Valentine's Day, I suppose. This has been Nitro Beard, and any parting words before Valentine's Day for our listeners, Mr. Brian Belita?
I do, actually. I have two parting words.
Okay.
A merry enormous vessel looks at a zombie on top of a chasm. And my second parting words are, once I find them, here we are. A wounded spider bombs a panda in an enormous spaceship. Thank you.
Well said. And my two parting words for this episode are dong police.
Yes.
Done and done.
What is he doing there?
I just came on my stomach.
You're unfucking believable. Rain damage.
selling a lot of records, but you know, he'd sell a lot more, man, if he take his picture off the cover.